It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Kevin Gavin, filling in today for Paul Guggenheimer. It's been at least a couple of weeks since the beginning of the school year. For first graders, a brand new experience. For college freshmen, they might be out of the house and to a degree on their own for the first time. With transition and change can come anxiety. So joining us in the studio to discuss ways to ease that anxiety is clinical psychologist and professor of psychology at Washington and Jefferson College, Kathy Petchel. Kathy Petchel, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm looking forward to this time.
If you have a comment or question for Kathy, you can share it with us by calling 412-246-2002, 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Our email address is ESSPGH@WESA.FM. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Kathy, I assume that August has been a busy time for you. Students becoming anxious about maybe first time going to school or maybe a new school with new classmates or even heading off to college, as I mentioned. What causes the most anxiety?
Okay, and you are right. August can be a very difficult time for some people, but actually a very promising time for others in terms of change. We call this transitional anxiety. But let's kind of think first about anxiety in general. A lot of times we look at anxiety being that which fearful. Anxiety is some kind of a concern of the future, meaning something that's about to happen and not happening today. We can have apprehension and fear about a change or something new. But a lot of times the cause of anxiety is stress. And when we think of stress, we think of it in a number of factors. The unknown, going into an environment that we're not familiar with. Maybe unclear expectations and limitations. Maybe fearful of social situations or academic performance. And this can range from being on one's own in kindergarten to being on one's own in college.
So, is there more anxiety when a student makes the transition from either preschool or kindergarten or elementary school to middle school or even middle school to the big building, high school?
High school, okay. In kind of thinking about that today, one piece I wanted to look at is how would we be able to see anxiety in some of our children, and we look for tenseness or, you know, a churning stomach, maybe some somatic complaints, right, some headaches, et cetera, if they are anxious and are having a hard time talking about it. But I think even more important, we look at developmental issues at each stage. And in preschool, typically what happens is it's the separation of a caretaker. And it's not only the separation of a caretaker or parents, it's also needing to share a parent figure with the rest of the class. And so it's the sharing and also the idea of leaving. What's interesting, Dr. Joshua Sparrow from Harvard has said that if you prepare the child, you prepare the parent. And so as the parent is beginning to prepare the child, they are also preparing themselves. But what's nice in preschool is they love the idea of a routine. And once they can master that, they get very comfortable and get excited about moving into more activities. A lot of times in the preschool, children, or what they have found through some of the child development, is they do best if maybe on the first day of school it includes the parents and then they can move on and transition. The next transition time is into elementary school, where they're going to spend really a lengthier part of the day in school. And a lot of children have a difficult time adapting to that longer time away from home and balancing homework, home activities, and lack of play. You know, sometimes these children really struggle with the idea that, for the most part, I'm not going to be able to do everything I did in the summertime. When we look at that, there can also be some separation anxiety, but for the most part, children do fairly well after they've gotten used to school and getting in there.
Yeah. If you have a question or comment for Kathy, the phone number is 412-246-2002, or you can email at ESSPGH@WESA.FM or reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH. PGH. We're talking about anxiety that can be created when there is this transition, a new school, first time at school, etc. How much of that anxiety is due to not knowing the other students? The old saying, you can choose your friends but not your relatives. Well, in this case, you can choose your friends but not your classmates.
Exactly. I think the next stage where that becomes more prominent is middle school. We move from, in the elementary years, wanting to be connected to home and maybe parental figures, but in middle school, they want to be able to be connected socially. And so this social anxiety, they desperately want to fit in with everyone else, but they're also trying to decide how they can be an individual. And so they're concerned from, what am I going to wear during school? How am I going to appear? Is my mom going to kiss me on the day of school in front of all of my friends? What if I don't have any friends there? So a lot of it is much more peer-oriented in terms of acceptance.
Some children, like adults, are more shy than others, or, you know, less outgoing than others. Does this staying in the background, remaining somewhat invisible, somewhat anonymous, can that help or hurt?
I think we're all born with a certain temperament, and some of us tend to be maybe a little more shy, a little more holding back and observing and maybe watching others. I think everyone has to get their own comfort level with their own personality and what works best for them. But I do think if they can find their niche and find maybe other shy friends or other people that they're comfortable with, they fare better. And so shyness doesn't necessarily have to be a deterrent. It just needs to be one that they recognize and try to move forward and try to engage.
Okay. How can families help out? Let's start with, say, maybe older siblings who have sort of already gone through some of it. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Can they look out for a younger brother or sister, keep an eye on them, or share their experiences? So can it be good? Can it be bad?
Both. Essentially what can happen. And again, I tend to go back to the idea that each student, each child has their own set of personality and how they're wired. And I think often they look to older siblings to try to understand what it's going to be like, what maybe to do or to avoid. Sometimes in a teasing mode, if an older sibling gives them too much information, it can be anxiety provoking. So again, it can be a plus and it can certainly be a minus. But I think anytime families share experiences and school experiences, it broadens the knowledge and the takes it from the unknown to more of a known entity, and that usually reduces anxiety.
Okay, what about other family members? So we talked a little bit about older siblings.
Okay. A lot of times older siblings can really assist in terms of that transition. I can think of a situation where an older sib was able to kind of comfort the younger one. They were asking a lot of questions, and they were able to kind of say, here are things to worry about, here are some things not to worry about.
Our guest is Kathy Petchel. She's a clinical psychologist and professor of psychology at Washington and Jefferson College. And we're talking about transition, change, anxiety, and school. We have a caller on the air, Jim from Oakland, who wants to talk about making that transition.
I love the show. I listen every day. I want to say I'm 61 years old. When I look back on this, I can laugh now. I was crazy. But when I was in high school, well, I'm blind, and I went to the Western Pennsylvania School for Blind Children. And when I was in high school, I used to really hate school. And I would go home for the summer and love summer vacation. And I'd go back to school in September. And man, it would take me till November, from September to November, to adapt to being there and being, I don't know. I laugh. I look back on it now. There was nothing to worry about. It was me. I didn't like school. And I went back to school in September. It would take me to about Thanksgiving to adapt to being there to really like it. So could Kathy comment on that one?
Jim, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your phone call. I tend to look at you being the expert on kind of understanding what was part of the transition process for you. Why do you believe it took a couple months to really get comfortable with being back into the routine of school?
And Jim's talking about the idea of not getting back into the routine. Is that something like the freedom of the summer versus the structured nature of school, and how some don't maybe like that structured as much?
You know what? And I think you mentioned that, Jim, where you were talking about the fact that you really enjoyed the freedom of summer and being able to just relax and do what you needed. And now all of a sudden your day is really structured and you're not accountable for your own time. Your time is accounted for you. And so it does take a little while to adjust back into that routine.
Speaking of adjusting, by now, as we mentioned, few weeks in for most school years, maybe the kids, especially the first-timers, first time going to school, have adjusted. But are there certain things that parents should keep an eye out for that the anxiety has sort of, maybe started to fade or has faded away, something that might trigger it again later on in the school year, an event, an encounter or something?
Sure. I think what can happen, Kevin, a lot of times for children making an adjustment or young adults or adolescents, usually after a couple weeks it has subsided. Usually they can get comfortable. I think what parents need to be aware of or to look for is that if this anxiety persists and they have a difficult time maybe sleeping or adjusting to the routine, they're maybe isolating a little bit more. Maybe there's some weight loss. They're getting very uncomfortable or more somatic concerns. I also think parents can kind of keep an eye just to see if it was transitional anxiety or if, in fact, there might be an underlying anxiety disorder or difficulty.
Something that is not just attending school on a daily basis and spending several hours away from home has to do with, dare I say, relationships, bullying. Bullying at school has been around probably since school was created. So what advice do you have for parents regarding bullying, the heightened levels of anxiety that might come with that? And sort of part two, it's complicated by cyberbullying, especially at a little bit later age.
Now, that's a really good question. And I think what we could maybe do is look at it in terms of two parts of that. One of it, when we look at social interactions and we look at bullying, part of it is some anxiety that an individual may not feel that they are able to stick up for themselves or handle themselves in difficult situations. But it also draws in the concept of social media and cyberbullying, as you had mentioned, Kevin, and just the idea of being connected, whether it's Facebook, whether it's emails, texts, etc. They're constantly plugged in. And in this plugged in, there was some more recent research that came out, a CNN article by Dr. Larry Rosen, that found that there were positives of this social media connectedness, one of which was that it allows for some virtual empathy, also enhances an ability to kind of guide or develop oneself, also has a type of pseudo social networking. But some of the downsides that they found that actually this research showed that there was an increase in anxiety and depression tended for users that relied on their social context through social media as opposed to interaction, a level of narcissism. And also looking at the fact that for these individuals, it could be pretty difficult if they haven't been able to balance out their social relationships and they're kind of using it unilaterally.
Very interesting. If you have a comment or question for Kathy Petzl, you can share it by calling 412-246-2002 or email at esspgh@wesa.fm and reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH. We're talking about transition, change in school, and how that can lead to anxiety. Most of our discussion so far has been about the transition to grade school or to middle school or even high school. But what about students who are leaving home for college, have left home for college? There's that excitement about being off on their own for the first time. But there's also that greater personal responsibility. And that, I think, I would assume, could generate some of that anxiety.
Yes, it's interesting. When we kind of started the show, we were talking a little bit about separation anxiety from a preschooler, but also that separation anxiety from now a young adult.
Oh, who's got the separation anxiety? The parents or the young adult?
Truth of the matter, it's probably both. but a lot of times what happens is that the individual that's moving on to the college is exciting and new and challenging and certainly desired that the family wants this individual to complete. They're really leaving home and community where they have a level of not only confidence but comfort. I think the other piece with this, when I look at some of the high schoolers moving on to college, is the idea of self-initiative. I think when I look at some of the common fears of college students is this idea of, am I going to be able to balance out my day? Am I going to balance out my freedom with the fact that the workload has now increased? How am I going to recognize when I'm in trouble and I need help? And who am I going to go to? Who am I going to get this information? In the past, they were used to certainly a circle of friends and faculty, you know, in high school and their family that they could count on. They can still count on their family for sure. But they're developing and forging new relationships so that they can grow. And so I see this self-initiative as being just a really premier component. From freshman year to senior year, it's really a beauty to see some of these individuals and how they've developed over just a four-year time frame.
With the college kids away from home, parents don't see them every day. They probably don't even talk to them every day. So what is your advice to help parents maybe spot that anxiety that might be sort of bubbling up in their college students if they don't have that daily contact?
Okay. What can happen, and certainly I think a lot of this is initiated in the younger years, is that open dialogue, that you have an open dialogue between the student and the family, and they can kind of detect if maybe the phone calls aren't coming in, or, you know, if there's some unease with some particular course or activity that they're engaging in. I do think that even if there's not a lot of phone conversation, I think texts can be a way that a parent and a student can stay engaged, you know, just a quick note thinking about you and kind of reaching out. It's a really an interesting balance when I talk with both parents and also students. Parents, you know, the term today, helicopter parent, and the one that wants to kind of stay engaged and micromanage every little detail of the individual's life. And we really look at that as something that this is where the youth needs to kind of move forward and handle some things on their own.
Taya has tweeted a question. I had anxiety due to bullying and not having any support from teachers. How should teachers be involved in dealing with this issue and the anxiety it can generate?
Ty, thank you for emailing this question. It's a very good one, and I think it raises concern in terms of teacher involvement and how best to quell that. I do believe that with bullying, there needs to and again, I'm not sure what age this was related to, and certainly different involvement at different ages or developmental stages, but I believe teachers need to be involved. I think they need to talk with both parties. My understanding of the individual that initiates bullying, somewhere along the line, they typically have been bullied themselves. And so you're looking at a cyclical kind of process. And so I think you have to direct attention to both, not just the one that's being bullied and not just the bullier.
Final question for you.
Yep.
We focused our attention on the anxiety experienced mostly by the students. So what's your advice for parents in dealing with their own anxiety over either their kids' anxiety or that separation?
Okay. Okay, to wrap that up, certainly anxiety. I think what's really important, parents have really kind of a family connection. They've got people they can talk with that can support them. And also being able to recognize that this is a life transition, and that the more the communication, the ability to discuss and just kind of get through this eases both parent, and probably to paraphrase again, the parent kind of helps self when they help the child. So just talking with them and not letting that work helps a lot.
Helps a lot.
Yeah, it does. So,
and parents, it gets better.
It does. It absolutely gets better. And this is the necessary next transition.
Kathy Petchel is a clinical psychologist and professor of psychology at Washington and Jefferson College. We've been talking about change, transition in school, and the anxiety that can be generated from that. Kathy Petchel, thank you so much.
Kevin, thank you for having me here, and thank you for the emails and the call-ins. Thank you very much.
And that is Essential Pittsburgh for Monday, September 16. Thanks for listening. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Tomorrow, people often don't seek advice, but they should. We'll visit with the author of Advice is for Winners. I'm Kevin Gavin, filling in for Paul Guggenheimer. Please join me Tuesday for more Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.